Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Teresa Benitez Thompson, running for CD2, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Meet Nevada Health Link, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance, where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada Health Link, our plans are made for your plans.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain. And for over 90 years, the Nevada Trucking Association has been the voice for the men and women in the trucking industry. From Carson City to Washington, D.C., we advocate for policies to protect our trucking companies and keep commerce flowing. Because Nevada's and America's prosperity is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
This piano's in tune because I take care of it. Neglect it, and nothing sounds right. That's our economy. Congress neglects us while lining their pockets, self-dealing, insider trading, while you do more with less. One good job used to buy a home, fill your tank, raise a family. Not anymore. I'm Marty O'Donnell. I approve this message because it's time to get Congress back in tune.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Teresa Benitez Thompson, the Democrat candidate for CD2. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I have been interviewing you a long time.
Of many years. I think we could go into the archives. If I remember correctly, I think I did an interview with you just weeks ever after having my third baby, Sandy, during legislative session when I was chair of government affairs. I think that there was an interview where I was pretty tired. I think you were filming at 7 in the morning in Carson
yes.
City, and after being awake all night with a newborn, walking to the studio, I thought, is this the best thing for me to be doing? And I was like, you know, answering to the people, you know, talking with folks like yourself is never the wrong thing, no matter what shape you're in.
Well, bless you. I appreciate that. You also were on the program after you had won the Miss Nevada pageant.
Oh, was I? I'll have to, yeah, that's
that
right.
On
that's
Channel
way back
8's
when.
Morning show, yes. Yeah, so way, way back. All right, so the campaign is underway. One of the things I like to do is look at candidates' websites.
Yes.
So yesterday I spent quite a bit of time looking at your website and Lieutenant Colonel's David Flippo's website.
Okay.
And they're both very good websites. And so folks can get a lot of detailed information from those websites. And that's not the case with everybody's websites, believe me. I look at some of them and go, my goodness. But let's start with some of the topics that you raised there.
Okay.
First of all, affordability, jobs, and the economy.
Yes.
Now, as a first-term congresswoman, you're not gonna have a whole lot of power. And I've talked about this with other people on the program. I mean, you go in as number 435
mm-hmm.
in the pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
So most of what you get to do really is constituent service, correct?
Yeah, a lot of constituent services. And I've been talking about how I would like a strong focus to be on constituent service work, because you can get things done and you can help your local governments, your municipalities, your counties. You can help them accomplish their goals and meet their community's needs with really good constituent services work.
And the constituents themselves, obviously.
And the individuals themselves as well, absolutely.
So you talk about affordability, jobs, and the economy. You say groceries cost more, gas and diesel cost more, housing costs more.
Yes.
What are your resolutions for those? Because those are pretty big issues that really Congress doesn't have a whole lot of ability to control those. How do you feel they could?
Well, I think specific to what we're seeing right now and what I'm living right now as just an everyday Nevadan in the community, a mom with four kids who's at the grocery store a lot, especially first week of school, packing lunches. You see that the cost across the board are rising. So, you know, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, and before you know it, it's a lot everywhere. But the policies of this administration have been the number one driver on the rise and the cost of a lot of these goods. So we're not looking at functions of the economy. We're looking at policy-based increases. And although I'm only going to be, like you said, one of a large group of member of Congress, I promise you my voice will be as loud as any, if not louder, to make sure that I'm talking about our needs here in Northern Nevada. So when we look at what's happening with tariffs, actually, let me do this. Let me talk about the 4th of July and hamburgers, because I think this will be a really good example. I went to the store to buy hamburgers to grill for the 4th of July, and I looked in the cart, and everything in my cart was a higher price because of this administration's policies. So the cost of even frozen beef patties, I mean, the cheap ones that you're going to get at one of our big retail stores, not the nice retail stores, the economic retail stores, the cost of beefs are up because of tariffs and because of other tariffs being levied on us in the, kind of this tariff war that we have. So the price of beef is up. The price of local beef is up because, as one farmer who's out in rural Nevada told me, they're paying exorbitant cost for fertilizer. They don't buy it by the bag like we do for our gardens. They're buying it by the ton load. So that's driving their cost up. The cost of our produce is up because the cost of diesel is up, and that produce has to be shipped to us in Nevada. So you've got the cost of diesel, but also with those refrigerated trucks that bring the produce over, they're less fuel efficient. And so the tomatoes, the lettuce, the buns for that hamburger, all more expensive because of the rising cost of diesel with the war on Iran. And so everything about my hamburger was more expensive directly related to this administration's policies.
Okay, so some of that is also due to what's going on with the war in Ukraine. With fertilizers, because they're one of the number one producers of fertilizers in the world.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't disagree with you. I mean, obviously, all of us go to the grocery store. My grocery store bill is probably 50% higher than it was before all these troubles. But I think that you can look at not only this administration, but the previous administration and see the policies that were laid out there have also put in, you know, problems here. And the inflation has been caused by both parties completely losing control of spending. I mean,
there's always going to be parts of the economy that we can't control. And remember, I was legislating during the recession. The first 3 years I was legislating, there was a recession. So I understand that sometimes the best you can do is react to the economy around you and try to make the best decisions you can for your loved ones, for your neighborhoods, and then for your communities. But we're seeing something different this time, right? We see the administration and my opponent being very supportive of this administration with being aggressive on tariffs. And even though we're on the fourth or fifth round of tariffs, with the first couple of being struck down as being illegal by the United States Supreme Court, they keep coming back at more ways to levy these tariffs. And it seems, and we've heard this administration, which my opponent supports 100%, say, well, you know, they're being callous towards the costs that we're feeling. Some of us can absorb those costs easily, Sam. I'm not trying to pretend that everyone's absolutely destitute, but there's a lot of us, especially in Northern Nevada, that can't. I met with the food banks of Northern Nevada, and they told me that they have more people walking through their doors asking for help with food assistance than they've ever had before in record numbers. I'm not going to ignore that. That is real, and I want to be in a position to address it as a congressperson.
And you mentioned that the courts have reversed the administration on a number of these tariffs, and in fact, the tariffs have been refunded in the billions of dollars. There was an article in this morning's New York Times talking about how much money has been refunded, and it's literally in the billions of dollars. So I think one of the things that's interesting is that a lot of people who have complained about the Trump administration and, you know, the Congress's inability to fight back, the court's inability to fight back, really, they have fought back. It's just taken time to do it. We are such a society where everything has to be done in 30 seconds because that's the way we've been trained. But the system is actually working the way it should.
I would disagree on this point. And the point I would disagree on is if you look at the decisions by the Supreme Court on a number of different cases, so you can look to tariff, you can look to birthright citizenship, you can look to other ones, it's because the president is exercising an illegal power. Some of these things can be done, but you have to have the authorization of Congress to do them. This is where we've seen a great frustration where people believe that a lot of folks in Congress are abdicating their independent decision-making power within our three branches of government, that that separation of powers has crumbled because the executive is running over them. We need three strong independent branches of government to really work. And this is that was the criticism that you're seeing coming from the courts. That's why they're being said that they're legal. Some of them, not that the concepts are wrong, but the manner in which they're doing them is completely wrong. And you're usurping congressional authority.
Well, what's interesting, too, is that, as in the case with previous administrations, the people you appoint to the Supreme Court that you think are going to be voting in your favor don't necessarily do that. Ones that are, you know, appointed as Democrats end up voting conservatively in some cases and vice versa. And I think you're seeing a portion of that now. The other thing that comes into play, which is why Congress is rearing its ugly head, as they say, is that we're on election season. And so knowing that the power of both houses is in play, that they are suddenly talking up and more loudly, which brings us to the Democratic Socialists of America. What is your thought on that? Because we did see, you know, some pushback here in Wisconsin because I think the candidate, I'm not going to say the word I would like to say to describe the DSA candidate, but some of the stuff that she was saying was...
So I'm not going to try to answer for any other community because I've really only lived in Northern Nevada. I think that's one of my strengths is that I understand Northern Nevada. What I can tell you is what happened in our primary here in Northern Nevada. So our Democratic primary for Nevada Congressional District 2, there were 8 of us actively campaigning, I think 12 or north of that candidates that filed and that were campaigning through most of the race. And we did a number of forums. I think we did something like 12 or 10 forums. So we went out and made our case to the people what we stood for and let the voters make a decision. We had an array of opinions, an array of thoughts within the Democratic primary. There were people who were very much more aligned. None of the candidates were DSA candidates. So let me be very clear. None of them were members of the DSA. But we had some folks with different kinds of ideologies that you would describe as more left and far left. But that's not who came out of the primary. I came out of the primary.
So how do you describe yourself?
And so I can answer for me.
Okay, how do you describe yourself?
I am pragmatic and I'm about getting things done. I don't believe that you should be elected unless you can go in and actually go back to your community and say, this is a change that I have made for you. This is legislation that I got passed. This is how I'm making your life better and easier. This is how I'm enhancing your quality of life. If you show up and you never get anything done, I believe you're essentially loitering and you cannot do that on the people's dime. I've always been about action. I've always been about leaning in to have conversations. Conversations across the aisle in order to accomplish change for the community. And I believe I have a strong voting record for my time in the Nevada Assembly to prove that.
So normally in primaries, people run to the left or right of the center because that's how you get elected. And then when it comes to the general election, they tend to moderate their positions to get closer to the center. I didn't see that with your website. I found that you were... You know, as you're describing yourself, you know, you plan to fight.
Look, I'm Teresa. I've been in this community a long time. Like you said, I've been putting comments on the records for decades. I've been me the entire time. I've never tried to pretend to be something that I'm not. I've never tried to hide the ball on where I stand. I've always been someone to show up and talk and engage. I've never been one that would shy away from saying yes to interviews or refuse to debate. I believe that it is incumbent upon us as candidates to present yourself to the people. If elected, I believe that it's incumbent upon me as a congressperson to hold town halls and to hold forums and to be constantly interacting with people. That means that, you know, some people are going to agree with you and some people are going to disagree with you. But that doesn't mean that you don't have the conversation. I think that that's the only type of great error that someone in politics can do is refusing to talk or refusing to have the conversation. Lean in and have them, even if they're difficult.
Okay, and just for the record, because you and I talk privately, but you said that you are willing to debate.
That's right. I've never said no to a debate, and that's been true from the first day that I was a candidate until now. I believe that if you say you're going to represent this community, the community has to know what you're about, and the community has to hear from you directly about what you stand for and what you're going to advocate for. If a candidate isn't willing to do that, then they don't respect you.
And we have put out the invitation, obviously, I think everybody knows that, to Lieutenant Colonel Filippo to be on the program, both individually and to debate you. So we hope that that comes through. We're still working on it, as they say. Let's take a break. We'll come back more with Teresa Benitez-Thompson running for CD2 after this timeout.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development. Building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
This summer, all roads lead to Hobie's Casino for trucks or bucks. Win up to $1,000 in cash every week. Then buckle up and win a brand new Tacoma or $35,000 in cash. Shift the winning into high gear at Hobie's Casino.
At Nevada Urban Indians in Reno, your health is our priority. Our medical clinic welcomes everyone. We accept all insurances, ensuring quality care is within reach. Nevada Urban Indians, your partners in health.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Teresa Benitez-Thompson. She is the Democratic candidate for CD2. And what a primary that was. Wow.
Yes.
Your opponent is the Nevada State Director for Turning Point Farmers and Ranchers. What do you think about Turning Point?
I'll tell you what I saw my opponent say on another news program when he was in the primary and asked about why he changed running in Vegas to running up here. And he said that the folks who endorsed him, like Turning Point, told him that he should move up here to run for this seat because it would be easier for someone like him to win. So I know that they don't sincerely have our best interest in mind. I know that they aren't committed to the unique needs of Northern Nevada and bring in an authentic voice to represent those needs. I know that they are very much interested in just shuffling candidates around to see where they can get wins. To me, that was very clear. And I heard my opponent say very clearly that who he's taking marching orders from, and they're from D.C.-based special interest groups like that, and not from people living in the district.
All right, let's take another break, and we'll be right back.
You're in trouble with the law. It's easy to think you'll lose everything, but there is hope. I'm Attorney Orrin Johnson. Your first step is to hire a serious attorney with the experience to successfully navigate the legal system for you.
Sometimes hope means addiction treatment instead of jail and making sure you're treated fairly.
Sometimes hope means fearless trial attorneys will stand up to the government when they get it wrong. Call or text Orrin Johnson Law.
We'll make a plan.
You'll take back your life.
At the heart of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Teresa Benitez-Thompson. She's the Democratic candidate for CD2. No Democrat has gotten close since Joel Derby ran forever ago. So this is an interesting time. One of the things I talked about, how good yours and Lieutenant Colonel Flippo's websites are. One thing did surprise me when I got near the end.
Okay.
Was you laying out a lot of positions on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that surprised me to an extent.
Okay.
I do understand that on a national basis that the Democrats have been utilizing what has happened in Gaza as you know, an election strategy, especially to get young people in. But it seems to me that there was a lot of stuff missing there in terms of the other side.
So I just want to respond. So
sure.
My
ahead.
Answer was not any part of a strategy just to engage people. My answer was because starting from the very first forum that I showed up at, I was getting asked questions about the issue. I was getting asked questions, you know, what are your thoughts about the people in Gaza? There was great concern from people in the forums we were going through about human rights, humanitarian aid supports for them. So my statement wasn't in any way some type of cold political calculus for the sake of politics. It wasn't that. I was responding to specific questions I was getting asked in the district.
Okay.
And I think that to the district's credit, there were only a handful of types of questions that were being asked. I think on social media, you see very different conversations. All of the conversations here were cordial. All of the conversations here were respectful, but there was a lot of concern. And I would not be doing my job if I didn't hear that concern and
no,
then address
and
that
concern. And I understand
concern.
That, but I guess yeah. I just wanted to raise some of the other points that weren't on your website.
Okay.
You called for a two-state solution. My question is, who do you negotiate with when the government of Gaza is run by Hamas, who are paid for by Iran?
Well, remember, things have changed now,
no,
right?
No.
So
well,
we've got the peace plan that this administration has organized. And I will say, at least to the credit of that peace plan, it does contemplate how you move forward and that it identifies a group of Gaza civilians, non-Hamas aligned, Gaza civilians to be part of the conversation for rebuilding civic infrastructure. So in no way do we want to see a resurgence of Hamas, and no way do we want Hamas to grow. And ultimately, I believe that we have to rebuild and make sure we have basic human rights being met as food, clothing, shelter, clean running water,
okay,
places
were,
for people to live.
Okay, I hate to interrupt you because
yeah.
I don't want to run out of time
okay.
here. But you were saying that we shouldn't be supporting Israel militarily with American funds.
So what I actually say in there is that, so I say that we have to support defensive measures because we have to acknowledge the fact of where Israel sits.
And you did support Iron Dome.
Iron Dome and defensive measures. That's part of what a strategic alliance means. But what it doesn't mean is just an unconditional check. And really, if you look at the war in Iran and the amount of dollars that are going out for that, you can't say anything but it's time to change and recalibrate what that relationship
right.
is.
But you know, that Iran is the major sponsor of terror.
Absolutely.
In the Middle East.
Iran is not our friend. They haven't been our friend for
over 40 years. Whether they say it publicly or not, no, it's 40
Longer,
years.
I mean, 40 years.
Yeah, almost 50 years.
Yeah.
Most of the countries, the Sunni Muslim countries, including Saudi Arabia, are all in support of Israel. Because they are all scared of Iran as well and don't want Iran to get
so
a nuclear weapon.
Here's the
so
criticism
I just didn't
of
see
the war in Iran. Here's a criticism of the war in Iran.
Got about a minute.
Is that they are not our friends, and we can't pretend our friends. They are absolutely strategically sponsoring terrorism in the region. We know this. But that's been true for a very long time. What is missing is what changed and what caused the emergency in the February of this year to justify our actions and to justify the loss of 18 service members so far.
Okay, well,
we've worried about nuclear proliferation. We've always worried about their missile capacities. But this administration in one fell swoop abandoned diplomatic measures to get there. And all we have for justification really is statements on Truth Social. And that's not the way American foreign policy should work. That's not the way diplomacy should work. And I think those are fair criticisms.
But this particular round started because there was a music festival just across the border in Israel that Hamas came across the border and slaughtered 1,500 people.
The start of on October 7th, going back. But the war in Iran and for decades, what we've been looking at, those are different conversations. Hamas is at a point where we were not 3 years ago. Hamas has been, Israel's been very aggressive in taking Hamas out. The criticism, which I think is fair criticism that we have to acknowledge, is way too many civilian lives were lost in that process.
I don't think there's any argument about that.
But the blame lies with Iran and sponsorship of Hamas.
Okay, I got to stop you there because we're out of time.
Okay.
But you know that you are welcome anytime to
Absolutely.
Come back on the program, as is Lieutenant Colonel Flippo. Okay. And we look forward to having his opinions on the program as well.
Thank you so much. Just like I said, Sam, we've got to be willing to have tough conversations to understand people know where a candidate stands. So I hope my opponent is willing to come here and do the same.
And we'll be right back.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
We're the Peters family, two combat veterans, our daughter Elle, and our Liberty Dogs puppy in training, Cooper.
Cooper will grow up to be a life-changing companion to a veteran with visible or invisible challenges.
We're helping Cooper build focus and confidence so he's ready to support his veteran.
And we know he will help bring happiness and independence to his veteran's life.
So join us, become a puppy raiser, and change lives, one puppy at a time.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers. If you want to be on our mailing list, go to the website, NevadaNewsmakers.com, and sign up. You'll get the guest list in advance every Friday, and on Mondays, a whole list of our new archive shows going back to 2003. We'll see you on the next podcast.